Hi, this is Nadine Dietz, host of CMO Moves. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thanks so much for stopping by today and to give you a quick overview on what to expect. CMO Moves is all about game-changing leaders, their incredible journeys, the moves that they've made, and most importantly, their personal stories of how they got to be the leaders of some of the world's most exciting brands. I hope you'll enjoy their stories as much as I do and take away a few tips and some inspiration for your day. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to CMO Moves. Today I have Stu Redson with me, who is the former CMO for Columbia Sportswear Company and is currently an advisor to a number of consumer brands and also marketing and digital agencies. Stu, thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nadine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to dig in because you have so much experience to share with us all, and I can't wait to hear it. But first, I thought maybe we could take just a quick moment and have you describe a little bit about what you're doing now, and then I want to figure out how you got there.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm working with brands on everything from their overall positioning, their content strategy, their story and reason for being, their organization structure. So really helping a number of brands with marketing specific needs. And it's really been fun for me to work with a really diverse client base because I keep learning with every new client that I have.
Yeah, absolutely. And of such a broad range too. So let's take a step back first before we go further there, because let's talk about your background. You've done so many cool things with different brands. Did you ever, when you first started on your career, think you were going to become a CMO or now an advisor to other CMOs?
When I started, it was really about gravitating to telling stories. I mean, that was really the thing, Nadine, that early on I felt that I like doing, and if I could parlay that into a career, it would be incredible. So I totally lucked out in my first role because I wanted to work for an ad agency, and I ended up getting a job that was client side for Nike and spent 11 years total at Nike, 5 in advertising, 3.5 in retail marketing, and then the last 3 sort of more of a business unit strategist and generalist learning the international business. So that really launched me in terms of my career because there was no better storyteller at the time than Nike.
And a very, very exciting brand still, of course, to this day. So that's an interesting progression from advertising then to retail to business strategy. How did you then take that and then decide what you were going to do next?
Well, the longer had I stayed at Nike, your next path was really to move into a general manager type of role where you'd either run a country or you'd run a business unit of some kind. And I just felt in my heart at the time, Nadine, like I loved marketing and decided, did I want to be in Portland, Oregon at one company my whole career, or did I really want to try out and see what I could do at another place? And was contacted by a recruiter for a company that was Gateway Computer, which at the time, the same size Nike was, both were $10 billion in sales. And they had just relocated their executive team to San Diego, had some family on my side that had just moved to San Diego. So all the stars aligned for me to go from sports and fitness and footwear and apparel into consumer electronics.
Wow, that's okay. That's a jump for sure. What did you think about the difference between the role of marketing in both companies?
Well, both, I made sure coming into Gateway that they were truly focused on, hey, do you want to become a consumer brand? And they did at the time. And I think that was the allure that they had with my background, how you can help them in terms of telling stories. And the thing that I liked, which I didn't really have at Nike, was Gateway at the time was 100% direct response. So you knew with every execution throughout the marketing funnel, what drove a return? Did it solicit more website traffic or more store traffic or more phone calls? So that was really cool for me to learn sort of the science side after having so much of the art side at Nike, and was there for a while and realized that, they were so focused on computers, and where the business was really going was in the mobile world. And again, got a call out of the blue for a role at Motorola to run worldwide marketing for them. And so jumped on that knowing that, you could sort of see everybody was going to have a cell phone at some point.
Yeah. It's so funny because I remember when we were chatting before, you had mentioned that you were behind the Razor launch, and that took me back years and years because I used to have one of those things.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel really, really old, Nadine.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it was. It was funny because Motorola was such a product and engineering driven company. And Nike was it's the one I would say similarities between sports and fitness and athletics and technology is it's really all about the product. And so the ability to work with the product design team and the developers and seeing the Razr as a marketer and knowing that the consumer really felt the brand had a lot of credibility with high quality and with durability, but it just wasn't seen as cool or it wasn't seen as sexy. And cell phones were going from just very few business people having them to now everyone was going to have one. And the Razr truly redefined what the mobile device was. And that was all part of the launch and probably one of the funnest projects I've ever been around.
So how did that come to be? I mean, tell me just a little bit about your journey in bringing this from concept to launch.
Yeah, it was funny that we had a great research team at Motorola, and we knew, again, in our most important countries of the world that were like 90% of the business, we needed something to really be seen as a brand that people really wanted as part of their life that was cool, that really showed a little bit about them. And again, while we had high marks for durability and quality, it was how can we really get that cool factor? So your marketing can only go so far. Like I think the whole Hello Moto campaign did a good job of making the brand a little bit more relevant, but without having that key product, it was really tough. And I remember seeing in this design review meeting all these different devices that the design team had prototypes of. And it was the only time in my career that I've done this, Nadine, but I physically crawled on the table and moved every one of these samples aside except for the Razr and said, if we only spend money on one thing next year, it has to be this, because this is what's good. It was so unique and different, and it's what's going to get the brand buzzworthy again, really in a big, big way, only because we had that great consumer data that we weren't seen as that cool. And then even the launch, we decided let's gather sort of a small team. Let's not do the typical launch where normally a brand would go to the telecom press and you'd promote it at a trade show 9 to 12 months before it came out, and your retail partners want to make tweaks or they'd want something customized. We actually flipped it and did it the opposite. We didn't tell anyone internally. We created all the marketing elements with the blessing of the executive team at Motorola. And then once all the elements were done and ready to go, we rolled it out to the internal teams. And we actually launched it, Nadine, to the design architecture and like graphic press, not the technology press, which was huge because it was so cool looking and everybody wanted it. And then you had all the technology press wanting to do exclusives and they'll give you covers. And it was amazing. And it really got the momentum of the company and the brand back around the globe. And it was a great thing for me to learn for the first time how much momentum marketing can create just internally, people stopping you in the halls and being so proud of working for the brand. So that was just a great experience for me.
Wow, so cool. You know, I wish somebody had taken your picture while you were crawling around that table, because that would be like, you know, the perfect hero image to put alongside your podcast. Here's Stu going through all these phones. I think that's so cool.
Well, I think I did it pretty quick at that time because I didn't want to get a picture taken. But again, it was also one too that a lot of the stars aligned. Like I don't want to say it's, you know, you had great product. Motorola had a new CEO come in that really wanted to make a mark and make a big splash, and actually backed the legal team going out and getting the rights to the name Razr because another company had it. And that was the final push to me that made, because the product, all phones at that time were V505 and A220, and they just weren't that sexy and no consumer remembered them. So getting the CEO's backing, like I think his quote was, I don't care what it takes, we're going to get the name. And so just having that and being able to work with the legal team, get the approval for the name, launching it as a name. And ever since then, it's pretty funny to look back now, being that I'm so old. every phone that's launched since then has a name. It's no longer letters and numbers. So it's pretty cool.
Thank God for that. So very cool. So a lot of things that we'd like to talk about on CMO Moves is breaking the rules. And so that was a good example. So thanks for sharing that one. Okay. So then you continued through electronics and then went back into apparel brands. But you know, tell me about that. How did you step towards an apparel brand again?
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as I loved consumer electronics because it changed so fast, really when it boiled down to making a move back into apparel, I think it was something for me that was twofold. One, the structure from within consumer electronics was beginning to get tougher and tougher based upon Apple's dominance. So if you weren't an Apple brand, your margins were getting thinner and thinner, and there were only two places to cut. It was either people, which no brands wanted to do, or marketing, which was easy to do, where in apparel and footwear, you had just a, you still had that brand love. You had that constant technology changing every season. You just had a margin structure that was different that allowed for marketing to be much more robust and really that storytelling to come to the top. So, you know, after 5.5 years at Sony, where I begged for a global job and was basically told I would never get to be part of the global team, I left and went to Under Armour, which was great for a couple reasons. One, they were all about the consumer. Two, they were really all about growth. And three, you just had such a great, spirited group of people that really rallied behind a tremendous visionary founder and a mission for a brand that was, you know, reminding me back to the early days of Nike. So that was really a lot of fun for me. It was my first time on the East Coast, and that was a little bit tougher. So ended up then going back to my roots, oddly enough, to Columbia Sportswear, which was in Portland, where I started my career, and to be able to work with not just the Columbia brand that most people know, but also the three other brands in the Columbia Sportswear Company portfolio, Sorel, Mountain Hardwear, and Prana.
So this was it, right? This is the first time you were the CMO of a very cool brand, multiple brands. So tell me about how you took that on and what changed between your prior marketing roles to then becoming a CMO.
It was really clear that when you came in the door, you had to really have a clear position and a clear point of view in terms of what did the leadership team want out of the role? What did every brand leader or brand president want from their brand? Who is the most important consumer for each of the brands within the portfolio? So there was a lot of homework before you started working on anything. There was really a lot of homework in terms of, hey, what is it that you want out of this role? And also, what is it that you want out of each of the brands? Because otherwise, I think a lot of times I learned from previous roles, you could come in and just start executing. But if you really need to have that support and that leadership at the top before you start making, you know, moves as a CMO.
So absolutely. And how did you get to that resolution?
So it's getting really that clarity in terms of coming in specifically in and around each brand. So for the Columbia brand, being it was the largest in the Columbia Sportswear Company portfolio, having that clarity in terms of, all right, here are my observations coming in as a marketer, right? You've obviously wanted to bring someone in from the outside. Here are my observations. And I tried to make them extremely simple. There were four big observations, and I'll give you an example of one of them. One was, every season you were changing your entire marketing message. So not only did the consumer have no chance to understand what you were saying, you were spending so much money and resources and time changing out all your assets 2 to 3 times a year at your own stores, on your website, and also throughout wholesale partners around the globe. It was just a really expensive proposition. You know, and again, the bigger issue being the consumer has no chance of knowing what you stand for. Then the answer to that observation was, for the Columbia brand, sticking with one brand platform and one promise consistently, season after season after season, that then the new products or new innovation that comes out really showcases that brand truth that you're staying consistent with.
So I love that brand truth. And Columbia does have a strong heritage. How did you help them get to the brand truth and communicate that?
Sure. It really, you know, started with number one, looking at the consumer, but then number two, what does that consumer say and feel about the brand, right? So you had a history and heritage, well, I'll even back up. So why the company was founded initially, the Columbia brand, was you've got this amazing outdoor wonderland. And if you want to enjoy those amazing outdoors, you need gear that's going to keep you warm or keep you dry, most importantly, or keep you protected or keep you cool in the summer. So that was the real reason why the brand existed. So it was really refreshing that, like, look, why does everybody that works on the Columbia brand show up every day? It's so that people can enjoy the outdoors longer. And it doesn't matter if you're a consumer in China, in Russia, in Germany, in Canada, like, you want to enjoy the outdoors, here's the brand for you. And it's because the company puts so much innovation into its products and offers those products at a great value. That was really the sweet spot. So how do we refresh telling that story? And there used to be this stamp that was this stamp. It was almost like a seal of approval from Gert Boyle, who's the chairman of the board, who's 94 and still comes into work every day. Pretty incredible, not just pretty incredible lady, very incredible woman to be around and extremely motivating. And it was a tested tough stamp. And that meant, Nadine, that any product you buy that had the stamp, whether it was on packaging or in a piece of communication, you knew that was that seal that, hey, this product's going to hold up to all this rigorous testing. Well, that spirit with Gert still there, still maintained, right? She had a popular saying that was in a lot of employee materials that was very simple. It was a quote from her that said, it's perfect, period. Now make it better. So that was this really connective tissue that said, hey, it doesn't matter if you work in HR or accounting or marketing or product, like everything that you do, you have to make it better. So it was really dusting off that platform, that brand truth of we're the brand that creates products that are tested tough so people can enjoy the outdoors longer. And let's just start telling that story, but doing it in new ways that, number one, involves consumers in that testing. Number two, involves Columbia's own employees in that testing, and gets back to that fun, quirky, wacky company from the Pacific Northwest used to tell that can tell again.
Okay, so cool. And I'm torn which direction to go with you right now, because selfishly, God, I would love to just like pick your brain even more, because, you know, my husband just launched Shred Dog, which is same kind of scenario, but for kids. Keep them dry, keep them warm so they can be outside longer. And I love this tested tough seal of approval thing. And so we're going to have to tap into you as a consultant one of these days, Stu. But let's talk about you being a consultant, because you learn so much, not just from a marketing perspective, but from a team leadership perspective. Like, what is your sweet spot? What do you help companies do now?
You know, I think it's really twofold, Nadine. One of the ways that I help companies is, what is that unique position, right? So why would I be interested in Shred Dog? Why would I be interested in pick the brand, right? So what's your unique truth and your unique story? And then where I really come in and help then is, hey, then how do you tell that story at every touch point so that your spend in total feels so much bigger than it had been previously, right? Because you want each of those touch points to build upon each other. And that was really learning from sort of my past, going from marketing being only awareness and sort of the top of the old marketing funnel, to really now how consumers find your brand is so different. I mean, they may start with what used to be much more transactional. It might be a social media post of a friend that they see, they go to the brand site, then they start to follow the brand, then they may see communication with the brand. So it's totally opposite now. So what I really like to do is get together with the clients that I have, help them develop that brand truth, or in some ways they already have it and it's just sharpening it. And then it's working with all of their touch point leads in terms of, okay, how do we really tell this story across all these touch points? And then the final piece is, all right, when you have a new product launch coming out, how do you find that product that best defines that brand truth and you really rally behind it and make it big and make it monumental?
Okay, so let's talk about what you're planning to do in the future, because I know you said to me you really, really love the consulting, but you miss being part of an organization where you can be a CMO. Tell me why. Tell me what you miss about that.
It's funny, Nadine, because, you know, the reason I stepped out on my own was to work with a variety of brands, all at different stages of growth and different stages of positioning with their consumer, which, you know, getting a taste of that under the Columbia Sportswear Company umbrella, I really enjoyed because they had four brands in those four different stages. And so I've really loved consulting for that variety, that diversity, and the flexibility just that I've had to exhibit learning different consumers and different brands. But you realize, Nadine, when you step away from it, there are two things I really miss. And one is leadership of a team and the sheer just joy that sometimes that brings as you give people more responsibility or you just see growth. And so that mentoring and coaching and tutoring, I really miss because you don't get that as much as a consultant. And the second piece I really miss, which I never would have considered until I started doing my own thing is, you know, right now I'm able to contribute to other marketers on the marketing side. But I realized that as a CMO, when you have a seat at the table with your other peers running operations or sales or HR or legal or all the different functions in a company, you miss helping your partners solve the needs of the business beyond just marketing. And again, I would have never thought that a number of months ago, but once you step away, you realize like that's something I missed. So that's why I'm really keeping my ears open for my next move with a consumer-led, consumer-focused brand that really wants to create those emotional connections as well as grow their revenues.
And so you came full circle in your career, started in apparel, went into electronics, came back into apparel. Like, is there any particular industry that you're really excited by these days?
You know, I think for me, one of the things that I am hoping to get more experience in, and to me, a lot of it's really about getting those experience because that keeps me hungry and keeps, when I'm learning and growing, it keeps me really hungry. So I think, Nadine, for me, a brand that truly owns the end-to-end consumer experience, right? So if you think about a lot of the brands that I've been at recently, most of their business is sold through wholesale partners. So you don't necessarily have that end-to-end consumer experience. So my Gateway example very early in my career, that was really cool because you couldn't walk in at the time to a Nordstrom or a Best Buy or whatever and buy a Gateway. You had to come through Gateway. So the ability for me to have more partnership with all of the distribution that the end consumer goes through, I think would be a nice evolution for me as a marketer because you really then get the data and the metrics of what's working and what may not be working.
Well, I can't wait to see where you will go next. I'm sure it's going to be super exciting. And we're very close to being out of time, but I want to ask you a big question here. What advice do you have for people today that are growing in their careers and aspire to be a CMO? What's some of the things that they should be thinking about doing to help augment their portfolio?
That's a great question. So the thing that I would really say, Nadine, if you have an interest in being a CMO, you have to be such a great listener and also be curious. I mean, ask your marketing leader for projects. I mean, one of the things that helped me early in my career was I volunteered for things, would spend nights and weekends working extra because I wanted to learn. I wanted to do more. I wanted to show what else I could do and gain the trust in the leader. So I think being, you know, a sponge, being very hungry and being willing to take on and do more is one. And then I'd say, secondly, when you're moving into a new role, being 100% transparent, as I mentioned with, you know, coming into a Columbia, here's the observations of what I've seen in the role. Here's what I really want to do. And before you start, before you do anything, making sure, number one, your leadership team is all on board, set up a bunch of one-on-one meetings with them. And then the team that reports to you, make sure they're all on board and they're 100% in agreement with the direction that you want to go. And with that, if you're an open book with your key initiatives that you're working on, everyone's going to really fall in line and want to be contributing at an even higher level because they clearly understand not just the direction, they understand the key metrics and measurements that you're being evaluated upon as a team.
Yeah. Okay. Great advice. And I want to commend you too, because you mentioned one of the things that you really enjoy and miss about the CMO role is being able to coach and mentor people. And in fact, that's how you and I got connected, because one of your mentees reached out to me and said, he's amazing. He's the best mentor I've ever had. So I just want to say thank you for doing that. It's very important for everyone to have mentors like you. So thank you.
No, it's awesome. And it's really fun, I think, for me to always try to give back in what you learned. And it's interesting. I'm going to be teaching a branding course in the fall, which I'm really excited about. And I think a lot of that is just the ability to give back and inspire others to continually learn this. Marketing's fun. Like, we all went into this for a reason, right? We could have done so many other things, and just feel fortunate every day to work in this field.
Awesome. So speaking of fun things, my last question for you, if you weren't in marketing, if you weren't a CMO, if you weren't advising other marketing companies, you could do anything in the world. Money were no object. What would you be doing?
You know, anyone who's worked with me will validate this, but I kick myself that early in my career, I didn't try to be on Saturday Night Live. That to me is to be that type of sketch, impromptu, you know, whatever. I don't know about stand-up. I guess I have done it sort of in a corporate setting, but, you know, I was fortunate, like I said, to find my career early and never look back, but I would definitely have gone into comedy, performing and writing for sure.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. I could spend 20 minutes just talking to you about that, because I love comedy and I can totally see it right now. You have a really cool sense of humor, so it'll be fun. You should do that still in your spare time, though. I will say that, Stu.
I've done it quite a bit. It's funny. I once was asked, when I was at Sony, they said, can you host? They have a yearly awards for employees for the US. And I said, well, I will. And it was always so boring. And I said, well, I won't host it, only for one reason. Like, if I can do it my way, like a talk show, you have your monologue, you have your whole thing, like your poke. And I wrote it out and I went to the president, and he like was dying laughing. He goes, but you can't say any of those because they're almost too pointed. So he was like, can you make it about the process and less about the people? So I did. But every year when they have those awards, I still get text messages from folks that are still at Sony saying, it was always so good when you did it that one year. Because you could poke fun of yourself and you poke fun of things that everybody in the company understood. So yeah, that was always a lot of fun.
Okay. So Stu, so nice to have you with me today. Thank you so much for taking time out to share your great wisdom and cool branding tips and good leadership advice.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nadine. Really love listening to your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, and we will continue talking because I want to hear about this class you're giving. So more soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.